Welcome to the Trinity Life Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, and we are Trinity Fellowship, and that is one church, two locations. And we are going to be digging into the lives of the ministry leaders and the people that are part of this family that we call Trinity Fellowship in West Central Michigan, and see what makes them tick, see what God's doing in the lives of those individuals that we worship with on a regular basis. And so this morning, we are with Pastor Patrick, who is currently the Nuevo campus pastor and is up for vote here in a couple weeks to take over the senior pastor position being vacated by Gary. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that, but really we just want to take some time and get to know Patrick and his story and kind of hear what makes him tick and what God's been doing in his life. And so we are excited for you to join us on this journey, Patrick. So thanks for making this happen and thanks for being here. And we're excited to dig in. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready. This is great, Aaron.
You're excited. You're excited about this. So, Patrick, why don't you start off by telling us, just kind of give us like the brief synopsis. And I know at multiple occasions through your preaching, et cetera, that people have heard your story. But if you could kind of give us the light overview of Patrick BC, right, before Christ, and then kind of tell us what that transformation looked like briefly and where that's brought you to, say, up until maybe 6 to 8 months ago. Okay. Mm. Can you give us kind of a overview of Patrick.
Yeah, so I grew up in Big Rapids. I'm a Big Rapids boy, I guess. My dad's a chiropractor, and so he started his practice in Big Rapids when I was about 6 months old.
Okay.
And so grew up in Big Rapids and in a Lutheran church and school. My mm-hmm. dad has Irish Catholic in his background. My mom was Protestant. And
okay.
so when they got married and got together, had a family, and we're looking at churches and where they should go, especially when I was born, because I'm the oldest. I had
okay.
two younger brothers. You know, they wanted church to be a big part of the home, you know, as they had kids. And so they settled on Lutheran, which was kind of like coming together.
Irish Catholic yeah. plus Protestant equals Lutheran. Is that how the math works on that?
Yeah.
One?
Lutheran Missouri Synod, specifically.
Okay. Got you. Okay.
So, yeah. Grew up in the Lutheran church and school. And so I had religion class and would get these stars on my, you know, chart if I went to church and Sunday school,
oh.
and they would ask me about that at school on Monday morning and things like that. So a lot of knowing about God. It was probably second and third grade that I remember going to Spring Hill Camp. That's in Everett, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And it was there that I remember going beyond religion class, going beyond knowing about God and experiencing relationship with the Lord. And so mm-hmm. the counselors and all that went into camp throughout the week and hearing the gospel, and it just kind of opened my eyes to who God was, who Jesus was, and having a relationship with him. So I remember at the end of the week at camp at Spring Hill saying, "Jesus, my life is yours."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went all in on
right.
this, and it's been a growth journey ever since. So mm-hmm. that's the time I remember really coming to know
sure.
Jesus
and
as Lord and Savior.
How soon did the call to vocational ministry come? Was that like pretty soon after? Like, did you feel as a young child, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do? Or was that later on after you?
As a young child? Those were the Michael Jordan years. I was going to be an NBA
oh.
player. My okay. mom's like, when you get to be an NBA player, Patrick, I want a pink Jeep.
So,
and a scooter.
Yeah, the scooter.
Said, okay, Mom. So I was really into basketball, actually, growing up. I love basketball. I played for
okay.
St. Pete's, and we had a rivalry with St. Mary's Catholic
okay.
school.
Oh, boy.
In Big Rapids, so the Catholic school, yeah, those guys were a lot better than us. So, but we had a lot of fun playing. It was probably in high school I started thinking about vocational ministry. So,
and was there a person that like was you were connected with that, exploring that call, or was that like a woke up in the middle of the night? Or tell me about when you first like, huh? What was that?
Yeah, you know. Around the 8th grade, 9th grade, my family made a change, a move from St. Peter's Lutheran to Trinity Fellowship. And actually, in between there, we were at a Pentecostal church for about a year.
Okay.
So, which was completely different than my experience of being an acolyte boy, lighting the candles and extinguishing the candles and robes and all that, to Pentecostal, two and a half hours of service, and people are falling down next to me, and weird languages are being spoken, and like, what is going on here?
Right.
But it was great, like, you know, actually that time, like, wow, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit being part of the Trinity,
and
getting to know who the Holy Spirit was. So we were there for about a year and then came over to Trinity, actually settled there, which was like a good in between.
Okay, got
Trinity, in Big Rapids, Pastor Gary's the pastor at that time, and, you know, recently retiring now, so 40 over 40 years of ministry.
And that's one of the things we've really appreciated about Trinity Fellowship, is just kind of that middle of the road concept, not compromising on anything, but recognizing that, you know, there's a big area in the middle of, you know, all of these different spaces to be in, and maintaining that tension between, well, no, there's order here and not chaos, and versus no, but the Spirit does move. And so, you know, all of that, we've just appreciated that.
And Trinity has always been one that holds things in tension, holds things in bounds, and goes to the core. What is the majors that we need to major on, and what are the minors that is, you know, we can have grace on for each
other. And so, having come from that background and moved way to the other extreme, that was probably refreshing to find that middle ground.
Yes, refreshing for my parents, probably a lot, and for me. And then Trinity drew people from the Lutheran church, from Pentecostal backgrounds. I mean, everybody came, and I think what brought us together was Christ and the gospel, but also the word, the emphasis on the word. Like, we don't want just what a denomination will say or where they landed, but where does God's word, you know, land us, and where's that? And that's the ultimate authority. And so always a huge emphasis on that. And that was very impactful for me, even, you know, in high school. And so going to Trinity, those were formative years for me in my faith and my walk, and probably the youth pastor at that time was a big influence. And a lot of the men at Trinity that were part of the youth ministry and youth group that really partnered with my parents and, you know, raising me up, which was fantastic. They didn't see it as their job to disciple, but the parents, you know, are the disciple makers of their kids. But, you know, they wanted to equip and partner with.
And
that was amazing, you know, in those high school years, doing things like adventure trips, which my son gets to go on this summer. You know, they're bringing back adventure trips and going to places where I went as a youth and was really impacted by those trips and time with the Lord. So, yeah, I, you know, coming out of high school, I said, Lord, I love you, but I also have this, like, love. I mean, basketball was like, that's not going to happen. But I did have this kind of interest and liking of airplanes, you know? So I was like, boy, how can that come together? And so some men in the church and some people were, you know, say, have you considered missionary bush piloting, you know, where you can fly in these missionaries where they're going to bring the gospel in these places, and they need pilots to go to these remote places. And so I came out of high school going, wow, you know, maybe that's it. And so that's when I was looking at schools for aviation and looking kind of all over the place, and landed at Western Michigan University.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, so landed there, and that's where I started, you know, going after aviation and going after the Lord more, too, because that was a different context. Western Michigan University. Had a nickname, Western, you know, for all the, the parties and things going on there.
So, so you felt kind of that, you felt that you definitely needed to be pursuing vocational ministry. And at what point did Jenny enter the picture?
Yeah, so Jenny was there my sophomore year at Western. And that's when we met. And she was going for teaching, so elementary education, early childhood development. That's what she was going after. And so we met at a campus ministry Bible study. So I knew going to Western, I wanted to plug in right away with some solid groups, some Christian brothers and sisters, you know, that could encourage and support me in my walk. And and I could support them. And mm-hmm. so there was a campus ministry called The Gathering, and okay. that would happen on Sunday nights. And so there was a Bible study, a lot of different Bible studies, and we were going to the same Bible study. And so that's how we met. And she liked ping pong. I liked ping pong too. And so we would have Bible study and then meet up for ping pong and then just talk about life and things. And so that's how we
gotcha.
Got connected there. Yeah.
Okay. So then you graduate Western with a degree in
aviation maintenance technology.
Aviation maintenance technology. And did anybody at any point have any talk with you? Like, I know conversations you and I have had, you have kind of a passion toward equipping and gifting and that kind of thing of you know, that the body all works together. Did anybody have any of those types of conversations with you to say, Patrick, what gifts has the Holy Spirit given you that could be, did that yeah. ever happen?
Yeah, a little bit. Actually, going back to high school, as I was graduating high school, I was pretty good at math and science and was good in those subjects. And so people, some, not particularly from the church, but mm-hmm. just in general, other teachers had said, you know, you should just be an engineer. Why don't you go and be an aviation engineer? Okay. Then you can make money and then you can buy your own airplane and fly missionaries right. into the jungle. Why don't you do that pathway? Why
mm-hmm. sure.
why do maintenance? And that never resonated with me. That just seemed like, you know, I don't know. That's putting off what the Lord is laying on my heart and mm-hmm. doing it for the sake of security, for mm-hmm. money, for what mm-hmm. would seem reasonable to the world. And that just didn't resonate with me and where I was. So I said, yes, thank you, but, you know, I'm going to keep going after this.
Right. Yeah. So you graduate with that degree. You go back home because there's home, right? And
yeah, after aviation, mm-hmm. So with Western, Jenny graduated with teaching and we were at a point where we were engaged and we're going to be married and she knew what I was going after and we had talked about that, prayed about that, and we're together on saying, yeah, what does God have for our life? Maybe in missionary aviation. So we talked to missions organizations, MAF, JARS, there's BFC, New Tribes, yeah. things like that. And, you know, they said, you got to read this book called Jungle Pilot, which was about Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and those mm-hmm. that had used missionary aviation in Ecuador. And okay. But in the end, they had also lost their lives, sure. you know, in that. So they said, this isn't just some Indiana Jones adventure flying into the jungle and
right.
you know
this is
serious. It's real and you may be going to places that may be dangerous and aviation is dangerous just in right. general. It's safe, but you know, you're flying in mm-hmm. remote places with mm-hmm. all kinds of weather. So we were doing that. My parents were reading it. Jenny's parents were reading it. And as we graduated and we were going to be married right out of graduation, you know, we also wanted to get a taste of missions in general before we just went full time. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we joined up with YWAM, Youth okay. with a Mission. Mm-hmm. And they had a short-term missions opportunity, mm-hmm. discipleship training school. And so after graduation, we signed up for that. We were married, and within 2 months, we were off to DTS, Discipleship Training School. And that was in Lebanon, Pennsylvania for 3 months, and then 2 months down in South America, Chile, Brazil, and Argentina. And so we were partnering with local churches down there to reach out with the gospel. And that was to give us a taste of missions overseas, you know, in another country, in another setting, and go, is this really, you know, for us to be doing that together and all? Right. So.
And so you come back from that and might as well land at home, you know, go back home where we got our support, our church, our family.
Yeah.
Well, your church, your family.
Yeah. 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 And actually it was down in South America that we had opportunities to preach. When you're down there and you're considered missionary, like it's automatic that you would be considered a preacher. So mm-hmm. they would just throw you up in front of churches. And after one of those times, somebody came up afterwards. I didn't understand her that much. She was speaking Spanish and there was a translator, but she said, "You are a pastor. You are a pastor." And it just really struck me because I never considered myself a pastor before. I was not pursuing pastoral ministry, but I go back to that being the first time that God ever planted a seed or a thought in my mind or heart that I was to be a pastor. And so that was a huge thing.
So you get home and you start to explore. Was that like a passing thing, or did that like kind of cause you to start exploring that? Or was it like, I came back a couple of years later and said, you know, that lady, how did that, how big was that when she said that?
When we came back, both Jenny and I didn't feel settled with long-term missions overseas.
Okay.
For one, I just was all about relational ministry, all that hands-on ministry I got to do in the churches, in the street, town squares, and with people just really resonated with me. As I read more and heard more from missionary bush pilots, they were spent a lot of time with the airplane. They were working on the airplane. They were flying the airplane. They were flying other people to do the ministry. And airplanes are more or less a hobby for me. They were an interest.
Right.
And if I'm honest, I really did like the Indiana Jones kind of adventure. Like, that's my kind of fly. That would be amazing. That'd be so fun. But that's just a hobby. The calling was more to that relational ministry.
And so you started exploring that.
And so started exploring that when we got back.
So you're at, so you go back to Trinity and
No, not back to Trinity, actually. We went back to my Young Life regional director, which hasn't even been brought up in this story. But I did Young Life almost like a second, I had aviation maintenance technology, but then I majored in Young Life as well, unofficially.
Oh, okay. Right,
student staff, and that's all about relational ministry, outreach
hardcore
to the high school students and things like that. So when I came back and I was like, well, if I'm not doing aviation maintenance or I'm not doing missionary bush piloting, but I want to do ministry, how's that going to be? What's the pathway for that?
Right.
You know, who's going to hire a pastor with an aviation maintenance degree?
I love that word that you use, pathway, and I really clung to that the past few weeks. I just really love that concept, and really kind of as I look at, you know, we're up for membership here at Trinity at the same time you're up for pastor, so we'll vote on you.
I'm glad you're still going through with it. Stick around with us.
Right? But, you know, that word pathway just really goes to speak of, I think, what Trinity has put together in terms of their concept of preparing people for ministry. And and frankly, you personally, in the conversations that we've had, that pathway of, because that's where you were. It's like, okay, this is where I want to go. How do I get there? Well, first, where do I want to go? And then second, how do I get to where I want to go? And a lot of times it's just like, well, do this Bible study and then go be a pastor. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that pathway concept. So
what's
the pathway to whatever's next? So I really appreciate that. So So you kind of pursued that through Young Life, you pursued that through...
Yeah, and the Young Life had a thing called the Young Life Church Partnership. And so I get hired on by a local church as a youth director, but then I'm donated time back to serve with Young Life, a local Young Life club, camp. And so it was a partnership between church and parachurch.
Beautiful.
Which was fantastic because Young Life didn't see themselves as the church, but they're reaching out in partnership with the church into the communities, being where kids are, and introducing them to Jesus Christ. And so then, as they're introduced to Jesus, well, then, you know, get plugged into a local church as well and grow in Christ.
Perfect.
And
beautiful.
So I did that for 3 years, and that was my into local church ministry, was through Young Life.
And who was the partner? What church was the partner church at that
time? Yeah, so that was Emmanuel Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, just across the Beltline from Calvin College.
Okay.
And so, yeah, Lutheran, Irish Catholic background, Pentecostal, Trinity, evangelical free.
Where's the Baptist at? Where's
Reformed,
your Baptist time?
You know?
You haven't been a Baptist yet. You might have to take another sabbatical and go be Baptist for a little while so you get the full gamut.
So, Emmanuel Reformed Church, and a lot of Reformed churches in Grand Rapids, Holland area, West Michigan. And so, served there as youth director, a smaller church family, but that was fantastic. So, as a youth director, that was my main focus, but I really was almost like an associate pastor. I got to be a pastor to all ages and generations and families, and it was fantastic. I grew in love with the local church.
Sure.
You know,
was that extra on top of youth ministry? Was that a result of a pastor kind of pouring into you more and kind of that equipping, or was that kind of like just naturally happened?
Yeah, and you know, the focus was youth, but as the senior pastor there, I was seeing kind of my gifting and just where I could fit and use my gifts. He gave me opportunities, and that was the thing, just opportunities to preach, to teach, to pastor beyond just the youth. Right. And I was really thankful for that. And he did pour into me, helping equip me and teaching and preaching, especially because I had aviation maintenance training.
Right.
That's what I had. So and I had like real life experience with Young Life, but I didn't have any formal training in the Bible or anything like that.
So how influential was his process for, you know, walking alongside you in your current, how you handle in that mentorship? How influential was that? And where, and we'll come back to that later if he wasn't specifically, but how influential was he in that process?
Yeah, I loved how he took me under his wing, and we would meet weekly and certainly talk about youth, what's going on there, but then also talk about how he's preparing sermons, and let's dive into that. He had a couple books that we went through, and that was fantastic. And so, yeah, that's definitely influential in how I am and that I want to bring people beside me, you know, and that happened at Trinity in high school and with the youth director or youth pastor at the time and with just how Trinity does things as well.
Sure.
And so that was very helpful for me to where then I was like, I believe God's calling me to, you know, the local church. This is such a fit all around.
Right.
And so that's when I pursued seminary. Was at Emmanuel Reformed and got seminary training.
Okay. So you went to seminary at Calvin?
No, not Calvin. I went to GRTS, Grand Rapids Theological Seminary, Cornerstone University. Sure. I think it's Cornerstone Seminary right now. And that was fantastic, too, because at that time, it was no longer just a Baptist. There's actually the Baptist.
There it is. Okay. So it
has Baptist roots. That seminary has Baptist roots, but it was becoming more of a non-denominational seminary where people could come from all different backgrounds. So the classroom was amazing as, you know, students are coming from all these different church backgrounds, and we're bringing it, you know, to the forefront of our studies. And we wouldn't argue aggressively against each other, but it would get pretty passionate, you know, as we're sharing
each other. Right.
Yeah. So
you go through seminary. You're still at Emmanuel.
Yeah, at Emmanuel Reformed,
and
so
then
that brought up great
not
conversations with the senior pastor there, because you know they Reformed tradition. You baptized infants, paedo baptism, covenant baptism, and that's not my background. Although it was when I was Lutheran, I was baptized as a baby, but I had landed where, no, you know, believer's baptism, you baptize after you believe.
Right.
And so those were some intense talks, you know, with my senior pastor, not like bad in any way, but we would get in, you know, just, okay, let's see where the Bible lands on these things and, you know, and totally understand and like, okay, I can appreciate where you land, but I'm not landing here too.
Right. I think in discussion like that, and I think that's important to bring up because, you know, as we talk about Trinity kind of being in the middle, I think it's important.
Yeah.
There's a difference between coming to someone who has a different, who lands in a different spot, who arrives at it in a non-biblical way and without humility and someone who arrives at it in a biblical way, in humility, we just land in a different spot. And I think there's a big difference there because, you know, people will say, well, I disagree with you and you're approaching it in a wrong way. Maybe it's like, well, I know the Bible says this, but I feel, right? Versus I see this in scripture and what it says is this, and this is how I'm interpreting that. And I think those are two very different arguments.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so important and again appreciated at Trinity how that central like, hey, yeah, we'll disagree with you. We'll agree to disagree, but sometimes we won't agree to disagree. Sometimes we're going to disagree like outright.
Yeah.
And so I just appreciate that, and I just appreciate how you kind of espouse that when I've heard you talking to other people who differ, and it's like, well, yep, I see how you arrive there. I don't arrive at the same place, but I love you and we can worship together.
I think that's where I use the word fit a lot, you know? Is it a matter of fit rather than a matter of right, wrong, sin, that kind of thing? Or it's just this isn't, you know, the fit, whether it be gifting, whether it be your theological convictions, whether it be your calling, you're looking for that right fit. And the church goes beyond just any one local church.
Right.
And so it's not like you're leaving the church. You're just finding your fit within the greater body of Christ and making sure that's a great fit.
Yeah. And so this pastor started to recognize that this might not be a good fit.
Yeah, well, and for me, I was sensing that it wouldn't, you know, be a great fit. And before we landed on there, and I appreciate this, he said, well, let's really study, you know, let's really dive into it, and rather than just making a quick decision. And I really appreciated that, because I think that's important to get wise counsel, to really study, really pray over it. Don't make any sudden decisions just based on emotions or anything like that.
Because he loved Jesus. He believed the Bible was the word of God.
Absolutely.
So it's not like you have to run from him.
No.
Right?
No.
So praise God for that. Yep. That you guys were able to enter that space. So you ended up,
The end, just going, hey, I'll study with you. Let's dive in. But in the end, you know, still landing on, this isn't going to be a long-term fit. I don't see myself being ordained in the Reformed Church. And because of that, I need to get on a different pathway still partnering with, you know, local churches like Emmanuel Reformed and they're sharing the gospel, but I need to get on a pathway towards where God is calling me long term. And that was where I sensed the Free Church, you know, the Evangelical Free Church, which holds all these things in balance, where some denominations make hard lines on minor points of doctrine, all important, it's important, but then that's not a fit then. If they're going to make a decision on that, it won't be a fit. So the Evangelical Free Church, again, majoring on the majors, minoring on the minors. And so that's when I reached out to Pastor Gary. Hey, would you consider taking me on as a pastoral resident? And that would be my pathway, you know, forward. And he said yes.
Okay.
And the elders said yes at Trinity.
Okay.
So that's when we made a move after being 5 years in Emmanuel to move back to Big Rapids. Mm-hmm. And I became the pastoral resident at Trinity.
And what were you guys doing for income at that point? Did Jenny end up teaching? Did she, what?
Yeah, she didn't teach. We were having kids along the way, you know.
Sure.
So Declan was born while we were at Emmanuel. Kirsten was born while we were at Emmanuel, and then we were coming to Big Rapids. And I, in the residency, it was like a part-time job. And Trinity paid part of my salary, but then also I raised money. And invited people to, you know,
to
support me as I'm doing this residency.
Nice.
And that was great. People supported and helped us as we did that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just the Lord provided.
The Lord provided. You might not have eaten steak, shrimp, and lobster, but the Lord provided because what was on your heart was answering the call of God in a way that was, because I think sometimes we can go like, well, you know, I think you can go the other extreme and say, well, God's going to take care of us. And, you know, you hear the horror stories of these, you know, poor wives at home with the rats and the mice and the cockroaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it doesn't have to be that way. And, and again, thankful that Trinity, you know, didn't put you in a position as a, you know, to be a struggling pastor, right?
Yeah.
You know, you get these guys come out of seminary with, you know, thousands of dollars in student loan debt, and then they get an offer across the table that doesn't even put groceries on the table to be a pastor.
Yes.
But that they supported you outside of the salary from the church and provided you opportunity and walked with you in.
And there was housing that was available through the family, my family, and so that was a great thing. And also a scholarship that I was able to get in seminary that covered 3/4 of my tuition, which was huge. So then I graduated without debt and was able to, to enter into ministry just ready to go wherever the Lord might call, whether that be a Trinity or it could be somewhere else.
Without some chain of whatever hanging behind you because, okay. So
it wasn't money being a factor of a decision of where I could go.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're in this residency and obviously, you know, some of that pathway you talked about in the video Sunday morning and things like that. And you're probably going to be talking more about that as time goes. But so, you know, you're moved into this call to pastoral ministry and you've got now this mentor in Gary who's pouring into you, and probably some other mentors that you've picked up along the way. Are you probably still in touch with some of these men that poured into you in the past?
Yep.
Okay. So now I think really there's, you know, a lot of talk goes around and, you know, well, so can you now pick up this process of just kind of, and again, brief overview, because I think a lot of this is going to be coming through, but I want to just a quick brief overview for anybody that missed or whatever, you know, just a couple of minutes of, you know, Gary announces he's going to retire and you didn't say, well, shoot, I'll do it. Right. there was a bit of a, just kind of take it, you know, 2 minutes and just review some of that.
So even the scholarship I took at seminary was a scholarship for pastors in training that will one day be lead senior preaching and teaching pastors. So I knew even from seminary and my opportunities in Emmanuel Reform to preach and teach that I was on a pathway to eventually be a lead senior pastor. I didn't know when or how long. And so when Gary announced that he was going to be retiring, even before that, I thought, well, maybe that lead senior pastor calling might be at Trinity, because I love Trinity. I love the church. I love the community, you know, would love to have an opportunity to stay and, you know, senior pastor here. So that was always on my mind, but I wanted to be surrendered to the Lord in that and not presume or assume anything. So it's been a process of praying and waiting on the Lord and and actually coming here to Nuevo Campus and being the Nuevo Campus pastor was fantastic training. I wouldn't have been ready to be a senior pastor just coming out of being a community life pastor in Big Rapids, an associate position that I had before coming to Nuevo. And it's where I got to be like a lead pastor, a solo pastor of the church, without being the lead pastor technically. But I got to preach and teach, and I've been able to grow in my gifts and experience. And so, I that was just a fantastic thing to where, okay, this is getting me ready. And Gary always said that, you know, I want to get you ready wherever God might call you to be a lead senior teaching, preaching pastor. And I knew that it could be wherever.
So, but when Gary announced his retirement, you weren't like, oh, sure, this is me. There was a process that you went through, and there was a process where you were exploring God's calling. Is this the right fit?
Yes. Is it the right fit? And so I didn't know. I mean, there's a way that God's gifted me and, you know, made me unique in what I would be as a senior pastor.
Different than Gary.
And so that's why I would talk to the search team and the elders and say,
Is this what we're looking for?
Gary 2.0, and Gary brings all the gifts, and he's laid an amazing foundation. I would love to build on that. I'd love to multiply that out, and I feel like I have gifts to be able to do that and lead in that way. So I want to make sure this is a fit.
So tell me, I mean, we've been, you know, we kind of hinted around at some gifting and whatnot. And tell me, Patrick, what really, you know, as you look through kind of lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, and there's overlap all over the place, and a lot of people have two and three, and where is like your core, like, this is what God put me on the earth for? What umbrella kind of covers Patrick's call to ministry and using the gifts God has given him by the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I see myself as just very highly relational, compassionate, able to lead in a relational capacity. So I just highly on the relational side of things and with leading and shepherding. So that heart of a shepherd, there's just a love I have for the Lord and a love I have for people, and then that just kind of bleeds out in how I interact, how I pastor, how I teach, how I preach. There's this heart that I go after. When it comes to spiritual gifts, I mean, there's been leadership, teaching, you know, pastoring, wisdom, all those kind of things. But I just when I just think of, like, if I could put it under an umbrella, it's just I love encouraging and and leading people in their gifts too. And that gets really exciting to be a part of a team, that I'm not doing this alone, but I get to do this with a team of people that God has brought to this place for this time to do gospel ministry. And when people are using their gifts and, you know, they're going after it, they're like in a sweet spot, and there's a joy on their face and a joy in their heart as they get to serve in that way and be a part of what God is doing. And that just brings joy to my heart to be a part of that. I love that growing up. If I could be a part of a team that was just clicking on all cylinders, and whether that be basketball or something, that was the most fantastic thing. When I was part of teams that were all individuals and siloed, that was really discouraging to me. And so I've always wanted to bring people together. We're better together. Right. And so when Trinity became multi-site, I was like all for that. We are better together.
So that
we can do this together.
Helping other people to grow in their gifting then.
Yeah.
So yeah. Run me through an ideal day for the Patrick position, right? And I want to step away from this, you know, senior pastor, associate pastor, whatever. If there was, you know, the perfect position for Patrick, run me through a day of just some really great things that you would just really love to do and you have seen God bless in the past. What does it look like?
Yeah. I'm going to love making sure I'm spending time with the Lord and just abiding in Him. I mean, that's going to fuel what I do in ministry. So making sure that's happening and seeking His face and His vision and what He has for things. But then having that confirmed through a collaborative gathering, you know, whether that be a one-on-one meeting or a one-on-two with mentoring, or whether that be in a team setting, like a staff team.
Okay.
Some people hate meetings. I love meetings when we can collaborate and go after things together. There's an energy that can happen. So an ideal, a day of meetings, maybe there can be too many meetings, but what kinds of things?
You know, right. So meeting with people to encourage, think tank, grow.
So that could be a hard meeting with, you know, somebody's got an issue, they've got a struggle.
Okay.
Like, let's dive into that story and see where God's going. So that could be a one-on-one. Sure. That could be a one-on-two, like mentoring. So we do God's Band mentoring at Trinity, or we do pastoral mentoring that I've had opportunity to do here at Newaygo campus. I was part of a pastoral resident mentoring thing with Gary. That's just a fantastic way to say we're going to pour in, you know, encourage, admonish, challenge, and, you know, sharpen each other. And so I love doing that and seeing steps taken. You know, that's when I think of a personal pastoral mission, I want to help people find Jesus and learn how to follow Him, you know, one step at a time.
Got you.
And so doing that and then staff meetings. I love that when we can collaborate together and we're all working on something together. So not just sharing information about what we're all doing, but how are we working on something together and catching the vision that God has for our team and for our church together? And then like cascading that out from our meeting to the people and to the ministries that we're leading. And I love retreats, going on retreat with people when we can really dive in, not just during the actual structured meeting time, but the lingering afterwards, the let's dive in a little bit more. And sometimes we'll stay up late into the night as we're just noodling on something or going after something. I mean,
that charges you.
That's so exciting. And so that's that relational side of ministry, whether it's entering into somebody's, you know, pain and hardship. You can only, you know, by God's grace and in His strength, you can take on that stuff and bear a burden with somebody, or to rejoice and get excited about what God's stirring in them. And wow, God's stirring the same thing here. And man, if He stirs this together, this is going to be beyond what either of us could do alone.
Like kind of like this talking about this podcast. I mean, just
and that came after a structured small group time that we had, mm-hmm. and then before you left, we're just talking in the kitchen and being like, "But what about this, this, and that?" And I'm going crazy, you know, mm-hmm. and you're getting excited, and Jenny's like, "It's time to put the kids to bed," you know, and you got to go out of the house. And but that's exciting, you know, yeah. and to be able to do this here now, that's part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So things that God's stirring in you and things that you've done already, you know, with your business. And hey, maybe this could be something called the Trinity Life Podcast.
Let's get excited.
And let's dive in and let's get behind the talking points, mm-hmm. behind the sermon message, behind the heart of the people that are leading this church so that mm-hmm. people can get to know leaders.
Right.
And this is... this is it, you know, mm-hmm. because this would be way too long for a 7-minute video that goes out to everybody, right?
But
you
somebody
know,
like, listening on the way
and
to and from work,
maybe this will still
right?
get edited, but like some people want to have this conversation.
They do, they want to
But I can't
hear.
Have this conversation with everybody.
Sure, sure.
So it's nice to be able to have this.
So those are all exciting things, but we don't have rose-colored glasses on.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna dig a little bit here and ask for a little bit of the heart of Patrick. Patrick, what do you see as the most challenging part of what you do and will do if you're confirmed as pastor?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the most challenging parts is people. One of the most exciting parts is people.
Yes, yes.
One of the most challenging parts is people.
Sure.
But that's just what it is, you know. Mm. And one of the things that breaks my heart most, you know, when it comes to church ministry is just the divisions that can come, you know. Oh, it's so hard. And I feel like God has grown in me an understanding and empathy for people of all different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, if you're coming from Irish, Catholic, Irish, well, we could talk about that another time, my Irish heritage, but
that's episode two.
If you're coming from a Catholic background or Lutheran background, Pentecostal, Baptist, you know, I can understand where you're coming from, so it's not going to be like, I'm going to knock you down or divide over that, and sometimes even where we do have to make decisions, you know, like, are we going to baptize babies or are we going to dedicate babies and baptize believers?
You got to do one.
You know.
You got to pick one.
We're going to land somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to bash the other church that does, you know, baptizing of babies. You know, I'm not going to bash Emmanuel Reformed Church. You know,
right.
God has led them to where they are and how God they're is, serving. Mm-hmm.
And God is working through that, and God is transforming lives.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, the word of God's being preached and God is transforming lives. I mean, in the name of Jesus is lifted high. It's like there's several churches in the area that, like, yeah, I wouldn't go there personally, but you know what? I'm not going to take pot shots because, you know, maybe that church. I mean,
yep.
marriages are being put back together and
yeah.
relationships are being restored. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you have those divisions, I think that can wear on somebody who wants to encourage and wants to equip.
Yeah.
And wants to see relationships restored.
Yes.
I would imagine I can imagine that there's some tears that go in
yeah.
this office occasionally.
And that's the, you know, Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. That's how he came into, you know, this world, full of grace, full of truth. And that's what I seek to have and bring as well into ministry, full of grace and full of truth, because it's not like I'm just wishy-washy on theology and doctrine and whatever you
yeah,
want
right.
is fine and goes.
No.
No, we take it very seriously and we get into the word and we want to land and
mm-hmm.
in a place where we're handling the word rightly and mm-hmm. correctly. And, you know, the blazing core of the gospel needs to be very clear mm-hmm. and not, you know, watered down or things like that. But we can do that firmly and in a way that we can also be gracious. And
mm-hmm.
so Paul talks about, you know, be ready to answer everyone,
mm-hmm.
but also with gentleness and respect, you know.
Speaking
and so,
the truth in love, right?
That kind of thing. And
yeah.
so that's what we want to do. And so when that doesn't happen, when people are dividing over things, and that not just theology, but COVID was a hard time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and masks and all that stuff and not
mm-hmm.
masking or political things nowadays. I mean, there's any number of issues, color of carpet, where we build
yeah.
next in the church building, what
mm-hmm.
ministry we should go after, what, you know, ministry we should go after in the community.
Right.
Everybody has a strong opinion and different things on that. But if we can come together and have that blazing core and bring all the things that we're passionate about, but, you know, almost, you know, make sure we're going after the core together, I think that's just an amazing, beautiful thing, the unity that Christ prayed for. And so when that happens, that's an amazing thing. And Jesus said, you know, they will know that you're my disciples by how you love one another. And when we divide and we hate and we beat on each other, we're just like anyone else. And right. So that just breaks my heart. And those are the challenges that come with things. And even multi-site, that can be a challenge sometimes where we forget we're one church, you know, in two locations, and we can be the sense of, well, we're Nuevo Campus, we're our own church, we're our own thing, mm-hmm. but we're not, we're together. And so that's a huge thing.
Oh, that it would be mm-hmm. that doesn't just go to Trinity, Big Rapids and Trinity Nuevo, but that would be the other churches in the area that aren't under the Trinity umbrella. Like yeah. that would be, because we are, I mean, in a sense, we are one church in some aspects. Yeah. And so to start to draw lines gets dangerous.
And I've tried to practice that myself. It's not like I'm just preaching that, because there have been opportunities that I could have probably said, you know what? I want to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. I want to go after this vision and the gifting, mm-hmm. and I just want to do this. And but there was something stronger. No, you know, you have the giftings in Corinthians 12 and Corinthians 14, but right there in the middle, and Jesus or Paul says, the most excellent way I will show you is love, how you love one another. And that will be the biggest thing, not the gift of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and the greatest fruit being love.
Right.
And so that's where it's really important that we have this love for one another. And, you know, with some ideas or things that, you know, God's been stirring me, I said, no, it would be wrong to leave or to go somewhere else and just do something now, unless it was something that, you know, God was clearly calling, leading, blessing, seeking wise counsel, and there was a confirmation. But if I just went on my own strong opinion, that could be not good for the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and to leave in a bad way or things like that. Right. And so as I've sought to stay and wait on the Lord, mm-hmm. because I graduated, was it 2015? Mm-hmm. I could have gone off and been a lead pastor somewhere, mm-hmm. but I've waited 10 years mm-hmm. for God to work in this, a calling and preparing, right? And that this was the time that God was bringing me to.
And frankly, that's 30 years faster than Moses, right? So,
yeah. And I wouldn't have been ready. God's timing is always best. Right. And so that's a good thing. And so that's my heart too in pastoral ministry is reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Always reconciling. Mm-hmm. There's so much, not so many like people out there that have never been to church, but they've been to church and been hurt by church. Mm-hmm. And they're de-churched, they're unchurched. There's things like that. And it's like, oh, you know, I understand. I'm sorry, you know, mm-hmm. the pain, the hurt, mm-hmm. the division, but reconciliation is such a heart, you know, be reconciled to God. I plead with you. We're ambassadors for Christ. Be pleading with the world, be reconciled to God, but also be reconciled one to another. And that goes hand in hand. It's both sides of the coin.
So hard to do. And so that's one of those harder pieces of the ministry that you're in is kind of ministering that reconciliation.
And we can be reconciled, and it doesn't have to necessarily mean we come back to the same local church.
Right.
But we're reconciled in relationship, and we're partners in the gospels, and we're partner in the gospel, and brothers and sisters in Christ.
And when I see you in the grocery store, my stomach doesn't turn.
No. I can say it's great to see you, and I've had that.
Right.
Where people have come in and said, I can't. And I said, I see, I understand. And so maybe in this time, in this season, this local body is not a fit for you. We want to bless you. We want to partner with you. Is there sin involved? If there's not sin, and this is just a leading or a fit thing or a calling thing, that's okay. We can work through that. We'll see. Yeah. So
I see that in practicality. So kind of finishing up, Patrick, what do you... what do you see as the goal for the Trinity Life podcast? What do you kind of just give us a quick, you know, 30 yeah. to 60 second yeah. kind of what do you want to accomplish with the Trinity Life podcast?
I want to accomplish exactly this, you know, the conversations that people might have one-on-one with a ministry leader, that we could bring more people into that conversation in that room so they can hear the heart of leaders in ministry and across campuses. You know, people get to know each other pretty well, I think, here at Newaygo campus, but there's growth here. And so there's even people that have been here since the beginning 8 years ago, and they go, I don't know half the people, you know, that are mm-hmm. are here. So it's right. even in a smaller church, there's opportunity for people to get to know each other better. And I feel like the Trinity Life podcast can connect us more, and mm-hmm. it would be fantastic to get Connie Lossing, Children's Ministry Director, here on this podcast, and she's over at Big Rapids mm-hmm. campus, and to get Gary on this podcast and mm-hmm. hear his heart and mm-hmm. you know how God has led him to retirement, mm-hmm. in which he would say he's not retiring, he's retooling.
Right, right.
He's not done right. with ministry,
what's
but he's
next for him,
he's man. Done in this role mm-hmm. as senior pastor.
Sure.
And so that would be fantastic because mm-hmm. this is the life and the body of Trinity Fellowship, mm-hmm. and I just want to dive there. So not to mm-hmm. give more talking points, we can do videos for those and things mm-hmm. like that, but I love the interview style, you mm-hmm. know. You right. know, get to dig a little bit more.
What does it look like? What does it feel like? So in digging a little bit more, how can we, as the family of Trinity Fellowship, how can we really specifically be praying for Patrick and Jenny and the kids?
Yeah. So, and we haven't talked a lot about, you know, the senior pastor role or what that's going into, but, you know, that's a huge change for our church as a whole, Big Rapids and Newaygo campus. But then, you know, as Jenny and I have been thinking about this, it's tough, you know. Even though we are one church in two locations, you know, this has felt like just a church family here in a mm-hmm. lot of ways, you know, Newaygo campus. This is where I'm pastoring and have been, mm-hmm. you know, all in, all my heart. And so relationships have been built here, mm-hmm. and those are going to change,
yeah.
you know, Jenny and the kids and myself. This has been one of the sweetest times in ministry. I've said it before in different ways and different places, but this has been such a sweet time in ministry these last few years as we've kind of relaunched coming out of COVID, and we're just in a great flourishing spot right now. And so the relationships will stay. I think the love is still there, and I'm not leaving the church. I'm still at Trinity. We're still at Trinity, and mm-hmm. one church in two locations. We'll be visiting. We'll be coming back
right,
and all that.
Right.
But it won't be every Sunday,
right.
you know?
It won't be the same.
And so
like
there'll
you
be
said,
some
it's
loss.
It's going to change.
And so it's okay to mourn over that and just praying for our hearts that, you know, we can grieve well that, and everybody, you know, that's appropriate, even as Paul grieved with the Ephesian elders. The relationship's not lost, but it changes.
So prayers that we would grieve well.
Grieve well, that we don't stuff it down, that we mm-hmm. don't just truth over it and mm-hmm. say, well, God's got a plan, it's all going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's okay to grieve, you know, mm-hmm. it's a loss. Mm-hmm. But to grieve with hope, right? Mm-hmm. We don't
right.
grieve as the world does. We mm-hmm. grieve with hope because God's got even better mm-hmm. in store for us.
Mm-hmm.
And pray that our hearts would expand, that we're not just taking love for Newaygo and switching it over to Big Rapids and having a love for Big Rapids. No, but that our hearts would grow in expanding in love for welcoming in more families into our hearts mm-hmm. as we love Big Rapids and Newaygo mm-hmm. in this new position, you know, mm-hmm. as senior pastor over both campuses
gotcha.
And beyond.
Does that feel a little daunting, maybe? That, oh my goodness,
I've
come to love these people on this every week plus level,
yeah.
and now I've got to enter into all of these new relationships. And
yeah.
is there some, I don't know, anxiety feels like a little bit of a strong word, but some just recognition of the weight of that? Is that a little heavy?
You know, and it hasn't been too bad. Maybe once it happens, it'll hit me. But maybe God's prepared Jenny and I in just having six kids. You know?
It's so like, yeah, what's one more?
Look
what's
and they
one
go, more? Whoa, six kids. I mean, how can you like even have like a sane life or something? You know, but like it's been great. You know, God's provided. And so even mm-hmm. as our heart has grown for every child that's come along the way, like, mm-hmm. yeah, we can't imagine life without Ayla. Ayla's our youngest. She's
sure.
two, you know. And mm-hmm. so that's just been fantastic. And I think it'll be similar, you know, in the senior pastor role, that our love will expand. It's like the family's growing in a sense, and our hearts will too. Mm-hmm. Capacity wise, yeah, I don't have time to to have the same kind of level of relationship with everyone. Mm-hmm. But that's where multiplication and multiplying out
absolutely.
That you don't have to have that relationship with the senior pastor all the time. Right. But I'm, you know, some of the greatest joys even at Nuevo is seeing families interact with each other, not me.
Right.
I get out of the way. I come to my office here because I got to get some more work done.
Right.
And then they're still hanging out there 2-3 hours later in the sanctuary. And it's like, that's great. It doesn't have to be dependent on me.
Right.
That's just the body of Christ being the body of Christ.
Right.
And I pray the same will get to happen. I just want to encourage it. I want to fan it into flame. I want to continue going in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Patrick, I just want to pray for you and the ministry you have here. And I think that's something we would look to do, you know. So, you know, as you're riding in your car, listening, just pray with me. Just, you know, let the words, these words be the word of your heart, and we'll just pray. But Father, I just thank you for Patrick, and I thank you for Jenny and the kids, and I just thank you for the things you're doing in their life. I thank you for the ministry that Patrick has had here, and what, obviously, God, all the credit goes to you. All that Patrick brings would be filthy rags, as he said on Sunday, but Lord, that you have worked through him. You have chosen to work through him. And we are just so thankful to have been a part of that and to be recipients of this love that he talks about that just continues to flow from you. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we lift up this transition. Number one, that we would grieve well. Lord, that as these relationships change, that the grieving would be not as the pagans do, right? Who have no hope, Father, but that you would be present in the grieving, that people would be bold to share where they're at and not stuff like Patrick said. Mm-hmm. Lord, so we just pray that you would be with us in the grieving. Also, Lord, that you would, as Patrick has asked, thank you that, you know, love would increase. Mm-hmm. Lord, that as he takes on this shepherding role of a much larger group of people specifically, Lord, that you would increase his and Jenny's and the children's capacities to love well. Lord, that they would not rely on themselves to love well, that they would not be running around trying to do to earn or to earn favor or anything, Lord, but that they would just have this overflowing love poured out on them by your Holy Spirit that would just flow through them into others. That people would walk away, Lord, and just say, our senior pastor loves us. Our senior pastor's family loves us, and they love us well. And so, Lord, we just pray that. We pray that over them. Mm-hmm. We pray for this Trinity Life podcast, Lord, may be used again for your purposes to connect these people under these two roofs that are Trinity Fellowship. And, Lord, beyond that, that your purposes would be advanced in our lives. So we thank you for who you are, what you've done, and we praise the name of Jesus together. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll see if we'll do another episode.
Yeah, that Irish heritage.
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick, and blessings on your ministry journeys.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Yeah.